Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
This is the story of men and women who shed.
Okay, guys, I got a joke.
Okay, what's the joke?
Why did the raisin go out with the prune? Because he couldn't find a date.
Hey, welcome to Roberta's Radio. I'm Jack Inslee, and that was Ryan Rice, and he didn't know I recorded him. And we're live actually right now, and we've got Falco in the studio. And when Falco's in the studio, I think you know what that means. Falco.
Talk. I mean, that was better than I could have ever imagined. That is a great way to open this segment. Mm. Awesome, thank you, Jack. I'm Anthony Falco, and this is another installation of Falco Talk. And I'm very excited to have a special guest here in the studio, Mr. Adam Kubin.
Hey, everybody. Thank you.
Adam Kubin is also AKA the Slice Meister, one of the founding, or you are the founder of the Slice blog.
Yeah, I founded Slice.
Yeah, that's a great, it was a great blog.
2003 to 2014. It is now RIP.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
You know, things have their seasons.
There's still,
every season.
It's there. It's still on the internet,
it's
right?
It's still there, yeah, but it's not really updated that regularly.
Okay. And then currently, you are operating a pop-up, which we're going to go into more, called Margo's Pizza. It's very exciting. We're going to talk more about that later. But like all Falco Talk segments, we're going to open it up with the question. And the question is, what is your favorite pizza?
That's easy. That's a bar pizza, bar-style pizza.
Okay, you're going with a genre here.
Yeah, I'm going with...
So,
well, that's the wrong answer.
No, that's good. That's an air horn.
That was the right answer.
Yeah, that's a win.
Oh, that's not a... Okay.
No, that's a good air horn.
All right.
Right. If it was bad, it'd be more like... You know, no, it'd be like this. No, that's the bad sound.
That's the bad sound.
I'm unfamiliar with air horns.
So for some of our listeners that maybe aren't familiar with bar pizza, how do you describe bar pizza? I have to say, I'm not really... I've been to a bar and I've eaten pizza.
Yeah.
Does that count?
Lulu's. It depends.
I'm guessing it's Lulu's. Not Alligator Lounge pizza.
Not Alligator Lounge. To me, it's like a very thin crusted pizza, decidedly crisp, very well done, very cheesy, a little bit greasy. Sometimes it's a lot bit greasy. It might be served in a bar. It might not.
Is there like a geographic domain which in this pizza lives?
I would say... It's South Shore of Massachusetts. South Shore of Boston is kind of the concentration of bar style. And there it's a little bit thicker crust than the bar style pizzas around here in New Jersey or, say, Connecticut. Like Colony Grill is probably one of the leading bar pizzas in my book. That's very thin. Star Tavern in New Jersey is very thin. I think the South Shore pizzas are a little thicker.
Mm.
And I think they have some kind of lineage with Greek style pizza,
like
pan pizza. So it's a little thicker.
There's no like crumb to speak of. There's no like it's not like leavened. It's like a cracker.
It depends. Like some of it does have a little bit of crumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some is crackery. So there's within the genre, there's a kind of a range of crust styles.
Hmm. So this is your favorite type of pizza. So that's obviously that's why you've... Now we'll go ahead and we'll talk about Margo's. This is a pop-up that specializes in bar style pizza. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Can you tell me about like how you got into doing that and where the name Margo's comes from?
Oh, let's see. I got into doing it probably about more than a year ago. Although this style of pizza I've loved for several years now, it's kind of a mashup or a throwback to the Midwestern style cracker crust pizzas I loved.
Mm.
Although what I make is decidedly not cracker crust.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's leavened, It has a little bit of crumb to it, not a whole lot. It's almost like a really thin crust New York style. It's rolled out. I use a rolling pin.
That's cool. Whatever, yeah. Man. I'm not here to judge.
Yeah, and I put it in a pan. It's baked in a pan.
In a pan? Like a cast iron? A cast iron pan?
No, just aluminum.
Oh, okay.
Aluminum deep dish pan.
Yeah, where is this the voice that you're hearing there is Ryan Rice.
Hi, I'm Ryan Rice.
Hey, Ryan Rice.
And that's a good question, Ryan. Where is Margo's?
Oh, Margo's, I operated as a pop-up out of Emily Pizza or Emily in Clinton Hill.
Okay. I've yet to go there. I've seen some stuff.
Yeah, very good.
They have a Pavese oven. I know this.
They do, like I've you guys.
It. Yeah. Yeah, it's nice.
Here at Roberta's.
That's a good one. So I've played around. I mean, you make a lot of pizza, and sometimes you get bored. And I've taken, we have pizzas that are intended to be 8 inches, and I just go super, super thin and just make it bigger and bigger and bigger until it's like a 13-inch pizza and cook it. Like, you could do that, right?
Yeah, basically.
It's not like especially a different crust than just like a regular New York-style pizza. No, just you stretch it really thin and then... are careful when you top.
Yeah, stretch it really thin. I cook it in a pan. I mean, there's a little bit different. I use oil in the dough, so it's not, it's not a straight dough.
Well, if you've ever picked up the Roberta's cookbook, you would see in there that we actually use oil in our dough too.
I do have the Roberta's cookbook. I've taken your class.
Oh, yeah.
My mind is so full of holes that I forgot. Yeah. There's oil in the dough.
And how does one secure tickets to this pot? I mean, do you need tickets or you just show up at the right place at the right time? How does it work?
No, there's tickets, and, we come in for a little bit of criticism for having tickets. I think there are people online who are like, what is this bullshit? Like, I got to buy tickets for pizza.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people online that are saying, what is this bullshit?
Oh, I know. I've been one of them.
No matter what you do,
It's the most Googled term of the past 3 months, actually.
Yeah.
What is this bullshit.com?
Yep.
No, we sell tickets, I sell tickets, strictly because I can do about 30 pizzas. I do it at lunchtime on Saturdays when Emily is otherwise closed. I've got 2 hours. I can do about 30 pizzas in that time. It's not like the oven here and your style of pizza where it's out in like under 2 minutes. It takes about 15 minutes per round. We can do about 4 to 6.
15 minutes for one pizza?
We can do like 4 to 6 at a time. We're doing them in the Pavese, the wood-fired oven.
So you got it lower.
Yeah, it's lower. It's like 600, 650.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it takes a little while longer. I mean, that's 15 minutes cooking, rolling it out, topping it, cooking it.
So did you perfect your pizza making at home? I mean, because like you said, you took my home pizza making class. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that drastically increased your capability.
No, it did. It did, yeah. Okay. I perfected it. Well,
was that with Angela Womack? Did you take
that class? Yeah, it was you and Angela.
Oh, yeah, back in the day.
Back in the day. It was a while ago.
And
Pizza Face.
Pizza Face.
That's a good name for him.
Yeah. No, he earned it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really nice name for him, actually.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot better than some of the names that get thrown out.
Hey, so what size are these pizzas?
Oh, they're 12-inch.
12-inch.
Yeah, I do 12 just because at home I was doing them in a toaster oven of all
things.
Perfect, yeah. The Breville Smart Oven.
Oh, that's a good oven.
Breville.
Can we talk to them about a sponsorship or something? Because I like that oven.
That's not a product placement.
No, that's, if you're going to buy a toaster oven, that Breville oven is a really nice toaster oven.
Well, the only reason I bought it is so I could keep doing pizza in the summer. Otherwise, in our apartment, I put on the oven. Like, my wife was getting smoked out of the place.
Yeah.
It was way too hot. You don't want your wife out.
Dude. Exactly.
No.
Well.
Maybe.
Well, well.
Might be a good idea.
Yeah, it could be.
In the summer.
Even in the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you made pizza at home, you were perfecting this bar pizza thing. Did you ever make pizza professionally in like a restaurant before this?
Before that, not really. I mean, I just wrapped up kind of an internship, apprenticeship at Pauly G's.
What does that mean? Was he not paying you?
No, I mean, it was paid. Guy. No, it was
paid.
Oh,
hey.
It was like a...
All right.
Whoa, what's in the skies?
The moon.
The moon. The moon. It's out tonight.
Someone just crashed our radio show. No.
That's the beauty of doing a live radio show at Roberta's.
You could see a moon.
You see all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So you worked at Paulie's internship. He wasn't paying you.
Well, no, he was paying.
Guy.
No, it was.
He was. No, okay, cool.
How much? No, do you not have to answer?
Cash pay
stubs, please.
Yeah, we're gonna.
No, I was working at Paulie G's for a while there. As you know, Paulie wants to branch out into different cities.
Yeah, how's that going?
It's going. He's got about 7 people now. Like,
awesome.
Working on these things.
Cool.
So,
Paulie G.
Yeah, I haven't really talked to many of them about where they are exactly in the process.
So you were like a blogger. And, you know, you probably had, like, office-type jobs and stuff. Was this your mm-hmm. first, like, major restaurant job?
It was.
What do you think of that lifestyle, the working in the kitchen?
Oh, it's pretty nuts. It's hardcore. It's work.
Yeah, it's real work.
It is real work.
Yeah. And, I mean, and, like, you're talking to... We've got a couple guys in this room that
yeah.
are pretty hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, what does this other guy do in the room?
Oh, Ryan Rice is the catering chef at Roberta's.
He makes magic happen.
That's right.
Thank you.
Please, which please. Catering chef? Like, imagine. So you Thank cooked you. At Paulie G's. Please.
Yeah,
you know, it's got a roof.
Yeah,
and all the stuff you need is there in a refrigerator. Yeah. So imagine having to make that magic happen
in the snow.
Yeah, in the snow somewhere else.
Ryan, in what's the craziest place you've had to cook?
Well, first thing that comes to mind is the rooftop of the Brooklyn Grange in 45-mile-an-hour winds and rain. While grilling pork chops from Heritage.
Oh, nice.
How did that work, the grill and the
wind? It didn't, actually. It did, but it didn't.
Yeah, the elements are a factor in catering.
We made it happen. I spent about an hour and a half tying things unsafely on the rooftop. Maybe the wind could have blown it off the rooftop. Could have been weird. Could have blown me off.
No one died.
We made it through. It was an awesome evening.
That's great.
Made it happen. That's what we do. Make it happen. That was one crazy place.
Yeah.
The other crazy place would probably be in a wind tunnel in Brooklyn. AKA just some random back alley in the middle of winter with numb fingers. But
we had some cold ones this winter, didn't we?
Beautiful pizza. Oh, God. The beautiful pizza.
You know what? The pizza loves that weather. That's the thing.
It fucking loves it.
You know, you're out there. All the humans are freezing their balls off, you know. But the pizza, you know, cooking in a wood-fired oven when it's 10 degrees outside, mm-hmm. it's something.
The pizza says, thank you.
Yeah, the pizza loves it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you think about, like, in the heat, you know, that dough, it just starts stretching out. Yeah. It starts moving too quick. You know, you get a little... It's just a bummer. The pizza doesn't like that.
It's not too cold in the 10-degree weather?
No. No, not at all.
Hmm. You have to force it. It's like in August, like, it's really hot, and you don't really want to work, you know?
Sometimes it does get a little tight.
You're like, it's really hot, I don't feel like moving or whatever.
You have to coax them a little bit.
Yeah, in the winter, you're like, ooh, it's cold, I don't really want to, but then you put a jacket on, and you go out, and you're like, okay, that wasn't that bad, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the lifestyle, that cooking lifestyle, is it something now, it's like you got the bug, you can do this, or
are
you happy
to
be back in an office with air conditioning?
I mean, I've been in the office the whole time. I've been working my 9-to-5 day job and then working once a week at Paulie's. So, you know, I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty much an interloper in the restaurant.
A dilettante, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, you could say I'm a bit of a dilettante. I work in one night a week. I'm not in that lifestyle. I'm kind of like just passing through.
Perfect.
So,
I just want to make sure
I'm not going to pretend that I'm hardcore or anything.
I want to make sure listeners know, like, Slice was a really big deal.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, like, tell us a little bit about what Slice was before it stopped being.
That's a good...
Oh, yeah. Slice was a pizza weblog. At the time, I founded it in 2003, kind of at the dawn of the weblog era, or the blog era.
I love that you always called it a weblog.
Yes, America's Favorite Pizza Weblog. I mean, that was the title.
The tagline.
Why weblog, though? I like that better than blog.
Well, you know, it's kind of ironic. And we had readers who were like, oh, America's Favorite. How do they know it's America's Favorite? Have they asked everybody in America? I'm like, dude, it's ironic.
I've seen the pizza blog landscape.
Yeah. So
you were slaying it, bro.
Yeah, so like Slice started. Thank you. Yeah, Slice started. I started up in 2003 as a hobby. I was working at Martha Stewart Living at the time.
Did you work with her, like, closely?
I didn't work with her closely. I was a copy editor. I was fairly down on the totem pole.
I love her.
Yeah, she's got a great sense of humor.
She's fucking badass. Did you guys see this new
the dust up
she had a pie article, and it was called conscious coupling.
Yes.
I saw that. That was good.
Oh, she's such a badass, dude. Yeah,
that's cool. That's like canoodling, kind of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Consciously.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's a canoodler.
Yeah.
This is known.
She was a caterer. You know that.
Yeah.
So you were working at Martha Stewart Living, and the blog was like a side project.
It was like a side project at the time.
And it blew up.
It blew up, I guess, a little. Like, enough that it was bought out by SeriousEats.com. Mm-hmm. I had also started a hamburger blog called TheHamburgerToday.com.
That's a good blog, too. I really like that blog. You know, I mean, for someone about 10 years ago when I first moved here, The Hamburger Today blog was crucial.
Yeah.
Knowing the hamburger landscape of New York City.
Yeah, that was the heyday of the hamburger, like 2004 to 2008 or so.
Put blue cheese inside with a little bit of foie gras, and you got like the cutting edge hamburger.
Whoa,
the
catering DB. Chef. Whoa.
That's what that's
Whoa,
what was
slow happening. Down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's your favorite hamburger? If we can just go into that.
Oh, man. Right now, it's like the Shake Shack style, but Harlem Shake.
The correct answer was the Roberta's Burger.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Hey, all right.
I haven't had the Roberta's Burger. Boom.
I'll make
Hey, where's the explosion?
You know.
You haven't had the Roberta's Burger?
I have not.
Bro.
I've only ever had like the pizza. And
Come
like,
tomorrow. Let's have lunch.
Okay. I'll try to get it here if I can make it.
It's delicious.
I do not doubt it.
It's probably the best burger in the world.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and throw that out there.
That's a bold statement, I'll stand by you.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
You know, I one time I had a In-N-Out burger and a Shake Shack burger consecutively.
Wow.
How?
Yeah.
I went to the one.
Were you in heaven?
No, it was on a higher plane. No, I was in L.A., and I went to the Shake Shack the In-N-Out there at LAX. I had the In-N-Out burger, double.
Animal style, please.
Yeah, I think I had my own little. I would double grilled onions.
Yeah,
because the animal style, I think you get too much sauce.
Yeah.
And then flew to New York and went directly to Shake Shack, and I got to say, Shake Shack killed In-N-Out. Yeah. I mean, it's just In-N-Out's a great burger. It's just a fast food burger, though.
Right.
It's like best in category fast food burger. Shake Shack is like just a little bit.
Yeah.
Different ball game.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly, right?
Yeah. It's like the closest approximation of what I can get at Topeka Bobo's Drive-In, it's like.
Topeka Bobo's?
Yeah. There's a place there. You know, it's got that griddled burger where they smash it down really flat.
Oh, yes.
Is this Topeka, crust. Kansas?
Yeah, Topeka, Kansas.
That's a Heartland America burger.
I grew up in Kansas City area.
Oh, okay.
Suburbs of Kansas City.
It's a good food town now, Kansas City.
Yeah, it's becoming one.
They make barbecue there.
They do.
Mm. Yeah. That's where they perfect barbecue. That's what they say.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so they have they're like drawing.
From Texas. Anthony's all right, let's get it out.
Yeah, you're looking to start a fight.
No, I'm just, you know, I mean.
I think Texas barbecue might be the best barbecue on earth.
It's, you know, and there's a strong case for that.
Hey guys, I've got a caller.
All right.
Oh, let's open the phone lines up. Let's do it. We got a caller?
Line 6. Yep, you're on the air.
Line 6.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, caller. How are you?
Who is
this? Hey, who am I speaking to?
This is Anthony Falco, and you've got Ryan Rice and Adam Kubin in the studio.
Hello, caller.
Ryan Rice? Oh, Ryan, the Ryan Rice?
Yeah, the...
Beep.
The catering director of Roberta's is there? Wow. Oh, man. Didn't expect this.
You're welcome.
Super cool.
Who's... hi, caller. What's your name, caller?
My name is Angela Womack. How are you?
Hey, Angela. What's up, buddy?
Oh,
hey, buddy.
I've heard of you.
Oh, my God.
Angela Womack... you know, he goes way back in Roberta's. He was a pizza maker here for a very long time. He invented such pizzas as the Crispy Glover.
Cortez.
Ooh. The Cortez. Probably
that's a good one.
Cortez, probably one of the best pizzas ever made.
The Cortez.
The Cortez.
Yeah. It goes deep.
And another one. I can't quite remember what it is, though. What's that?
should I name some more? The Jesus Christ.
Oh, the Jesus Christ. Ooh, man. All right. Not here bad. It goes. Big that's guns. Big guns. What else?
The margarita?
Also, you know what? This is a little controversial, all right? But the fucking motherfucking bee sting.
Oh, okay, sorry, hey, you know what? That's very interesting you bring up the bee sting, because we have Adam Kubin here.
Good. Adam's there.
Awesome. Hey, what's up?
You've had the bee sting before, right?
I have.
Now, this is a thing now, right?
What's that? Honey on the soap or soda?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, everybody does it now, right?
A lot of people Everyone does it.
As a founder of Slice, I would say, a bona fide pizza expert, can you trace the origins of the soap or soda honey combination that is basically, like, you know, de rigueur for the neo-Neapolitan style pizza?
I would say the first place I saw it was Roberta's.
Roberta's.
Hold on. I didn't catch that. Where was it?
Roberta's.
Can I speak on this real quick?
Yeah. What's up, dude?
Your turn.
Is Brandon in charge of the sound effects?
You know,
so
actually, if you want to trace back the origins of those sound effects.
Wow. All right. So hold on. Let me speak on this real quick. Okay. And this is the truth, okay? The first pizza at Roberta's to have honey on it. The first pizza. Mm-hmm. All right, not in the world. People have been doing that for a long time. Honey on pizza, big deal. The first pizza to have honey on it was the Jesus Christ.
That wasn't by me.
That was by, remember that, like, transsexual barista we had? Remember that guy?
Yeah, James.
Dave Potes?
Yeah, he, like, models now and shit.
Yeah.
But he was like, I want to slather honey on my pizza.
Yeah.
So,
and you were like, I'll do anything you want. Give me another Americano.
So he put honey on. He put honey on that pizza, and boom, it was a hit. And then,
where did the honey come from? There was just honey laying around.
From there, hold on. yeah, there's a lot of honey laying around everywhere. So from there, good old Andrew Steiner had the idea of meat and honey on a pizza. Right? That's what he wanted to do. So
just meat. Here comes he was Andrew like, "Hey, Steiner in honey,
situation, okay?
Meat,
yum."
Yes. Now here comes the third aspect of this pizza. Pauly G had Mike's Hot Honey over at Pauly G's one time. So putting all these aspects together, hot honey, meat, and honey on a pizza in general. It was a mixture of a bunch of people. So this is how stuff works, man. But
it's in the ether.
Definitely, I'm the one that put it together, man.
Yeah,
I'm the DJ call out of that.
You know what? Okay. And I give you props for it every time.
And you're somewhat of a historian.
Yeah. So now, while we're here plugging people's pizza projects, we've already talked extensively about Margo's. We're going to get into Ryan Rice's pizza project on the moon in a minute. But tell me, where are you at right now, Angela? What are you working on these days?
I left Roberta's.
You're never going to be free.
Here's the thing. I left Roberta's because I had an opportunity here on the West Coast, and I opened up my little place. It's called Oak and Rye. It's in a small town called Los Gatos, California.
Mm.
Probably one of the worst places on earth. But you know what? it's beautiful.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
beautiful, and there's a rich food culture out here, man. There's a lot of great.
There's a rich food culture.
There's
out there.
Yeah, rich that too. You know, we're literally across the street from Manresa.
Yeah, David Kinch was just here.
I fucking love Roberta's.
Yeah, you got a chance to cook with him, right, Ryan?
I was cooking with him.
He's been in a few times. I know for a fact he thinks my pizza's better than Roberta's, but hey, I'm not going to say anything about that.
He said that?
Wait, Manresa has pizza?
No.
Wait, what?
Hold on. What I heard was David Kinch thinks that Angelo's pizza is better than Roberta's. And
he said that to you?
It's a walk-on. No, that's what Andrew... He didn't say it to me.
Okay.
Kinch did not say
that. That's kind of weird.
I know. No.
Hey, you know what? It's a walk-off. Pizza is totally one of those things, dude. You know, I mean, it's like,
a pizza off.
Yeah, it's totally, what do you call that, subjective?
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what? Anything you eat in Los Gatos is like heavenly. You got all the positive ions coming from the ocean.
A lot of positive ions.
You know, you got Angela Womack there.
I mean, you guys got that California produce. That's like an unfair advantage
from
the start.
A lot of positive ions. I got a negative ion lamp in my restaurant to balance it all out. You know what I'm saying?
Heard that, Chef. Yeah. Hey, so Chef Womack, tell me about some oak and rye pizzas that you've developed specifically just for this restaurant.
All right. So, like I said before, and like, you know, like any, I guess here's the thing. I'm not a chef. By the way, my autobiography pizza book is going to be called "Don't Call Me a Chef." By the way, just so you guys know.
Yeah, you're fighting off the publishers
Don't
for that one
chef.
Right now, huh?
Call me Cynthia.
No, but
it's a bidding war.
Basically, you know, I brought a lot of the creations they created at Roberta's. I brought them over, changed the name, you know, and then I asked, like, for example, Anthony. I asked you. I was like, "Hey, Anthony, can I recreate the your famous Beck and Wolf?" And you're like, "Yeah, sure, whatever. Yeah, that place is going to fail in a couple weeks, so go for it, dude."
I don't remember that.
Oh, you said it, asshole. You said it. You're cool with it.
Beep.
Anyways, sorry. And then, so I asked the people whose creations that they created. For example, who created the famous original? It was Pedro. You know, I asked for blessings
that,
from the
can
creators.
Can I just go ahead and say for a second, that's probably one the greatest pizzas of all time.
The famous original?
Yeah. Mm. I think it's amazing.
Mm. I love that pizza.
It's such a good pizza. It tastes just like pizza. It's my favorite thing about it.
It's an amazing pizza, and anyone who has it, man, it just really, it brings it all full circle. Oh, you know,
you're using Caciocavallo? I mean, that's the key.
People might not like recognize, you know, like, what the hell is all this stuff? So Posada?
Have you
know,
dabbled
what the hell is Fiore Latte? Dope. And they bite in that pizza, and it's like, oh my God, this is what...
It's an amazing
pizza.
Pizza
should taste like.
Adam, have
it's
you dabbled
pizza.
In Caciocavallo?
I have not. I've only eaten it.
Mm. Oh, man. Do yourself a favor.
Dabble.
I think it would work perfectly.
The dilettante dabble.
Yeah. I think it would work perfectly on bar pizza.
So then, listen to this.
Okay.
So basically, you know, I had to come up with my own shit, you know?
Okay. That's what my original question was like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, yes. Original pizzas.
What?
Yeah, some original. Some. You know, I'm an
All right,
innovator.
Tell me. We want to know.
We want to hear that West Coast shit.
What you working on?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we grow some good stuff out here. You know what I'm saying? So here's the thing. So speaking of California pizza, so, you know, you look at the hero of California pizza here, Wolfgang Puck, you know, created a bunch of really...
He was out there, dude. He was really a pioneer.
And then threw it on some bread. And called it a pizza. So I kind of I made this one a dish called the California 2.0. But it's the base is dill aioli, a ton of garlic, a ton of red onion, and then I have this fresh Schooner Bay salmon. Throw that on there with capers. Cook it all. Comes out. Throw a little lemon dressed arugula on there. It's unbelievable.
That sounds super California.
California 2.0.
CPK, dude.
Wow.
It's extremely California.
Is it CPK 2.0?
No.
You get sued for that one. Watch out.
Inspired by you, Anthony. There's also another one. Inspired by what we did in Austin, putting ranch on a pizza.
Ah, yeah, baby.
Yes,
that
ranch in a pie. You know, most people finish it with the ranch, and you know, it looks tacky, looks like an afterthought kind of stuff. But cooking the ranch as your base of the pie, and if you have the right ingredients, it kind of soak up that oil and it breaks.
It's dirty in all the right ways.
Yeah, it's dirty. It's really good.
That reminds me of a joke.
I'm coming up with pies a little more and more. Anyways.
So you have a ranch-based pizza. Damn. Is there bacon involved in that situation?
No. Man, you guys are getting all sexy on this show.
I mean, you took it there, bro. Sexy. Mm.
And then what'd you do to the pizza? Yeah? then what?
And tell me what you put inside the calzone.
it's ranch, a little bit of mozzarella, and then what else is on this damn thing? Oh, then house-made pork sausage. And then we put a calabrese on there, which is a really good salami made by Criminelli Meats here on the on the West Coast. It's real, it's real fatty, so when it cooks, you know, it really melts on the pie. And then, yeah, garlic, and then finished with some green onion. It's very, like, nostalgic pie, a lot of people.
Sounds like it's probably pretty, too.
It's beautiful.
I like a good looking. That's what I would say about the Cortez.
If you Google Oak and Rye, a lot of stuff will pop up. You know, we have real good Googleability. You know, so
I've googled you.
Yeah, I usually get like a cigar bar in Chicago, like a whiskey company in Tennessee.
I hate you so much. You know, I used to tell people if. Google my name until my mugshot was the first thing that popped up.
Dude, I've been looking for it. You must have paid to take it down because I. Anyway, just can't find
don't,
it.
Don't search Tony Falco with the safe search off.
Hey guys, I got a question. Since I'm in the presence of three great pizza heroes. I just have one question for all three of you. You can take turns.
You're a pizza hero too, Ryan Rice.
I'm just in the shadows, just observing and eating delicious pizza.
Pizza's
exactly where I want to be.
Okay, what's your question?
Where do you see pizza going? I know where it started. I know where it came from. I've enjoyed it all the way up till this moment now. But where do you see the future of pizza? Not just in America, but in the universe.
Guys, can I answer this one? And then unfortunately, I gotta go. I have a newborn child I gotta deal with.
Another.
This is Angel speaking, by the way. So you know, here's the thing. When I first started my place, what I really wanted was pies that were completely flat with toppings all the way to the end. And you know, it's like
you mean no crust.
I kind of went back and the things I was familiar with, but seeing what Adam's doing and the Margo's pizza, to eat pizza that basically you bite your fingers when you're done with it. That's amazing, and I really want to try your pies, man. So in my opinion, like that is the most interesting to me, and
Angela Womack, chef of Oak and Rye. Is calling out bar pizza as the future of 2015.
I absolutely bar pizzas with like damn good ingredients on it, man. For real.
I'm blushing, and I hope you're right.
All right, hey guys.
All right, Angelo.
Thanks for listening to me, Ryan Rice. I'm gonna show up in your room one night, and I'm gonna stab you in the heart.
It's been a pleasure.
I'll be
Womack.
Waiting for you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye. See you, buddy.
You later.
Oh, restraining order.
Oh, that was good.
That's good. That was refreshing.
So why don't we take a quick breather, guys? We'll go on a little break here, and we'll come back with Ryan Rice. How's that sound?
Yeah, oh, sounds great. Thanks.
All right, Roberta's Radio. We'll be right back. Back to Roberta's Radio. Shout out to Kristen, who gives us the music for this show. She's a back waiter at Roberta's. We like to keep everything in-house. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, we have an actual Sky Report coming. Is that right, guys?
Sky Report.
Sky Report.
Update. With Ryan Rice. Solar forecast. Solar update. Everybody take a deep breath. Focus your energy. Inside the portal.
what does this all mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? Who cares? Set yourself free. Smoke something. Smoke fish. Smoke mozzarella.
Well, I think we won a Grammy, guys.
Yeah, I think that was it. another informative Sky Report.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Ryan Rice.
Very useful.
Uh-huh. Ooh,
that's great.
Hey, sorry I'm late. I just got back. I had to go get another beer.
Yeah, no problem,
what?
Man. Beverages are very important.
What did I miss?
Not much. We were just talking about cheese.
I think I fell asleep or something. I don't know. All I can remember is the something about some stars or something.
Man.
Whoa, weird.
So when's the next Margot pizza pop-up? When are we going to get a chance to get in there and try some of this bar pizza, which is, as Angela Womack says, the future of pizza 2015?
The next Margot's is October 25th.
Oh, okay.
Tickets on sale this coming Saturday.
Excellent.
Margospizza.com.
Ah, all right. There it is. There's a plug.
Yes.
How much is a ticket?
$25, and it's a prefix menu. It's a one bar style pizza, 12 inch, your choice of four different pies, and then there's a side item. You can either get a salad or a drink ticket.
That ain't bad, dude.
It's not too bad.
Yeah, it's in line with what I think people are willing to pay.
Yeah,
some people say, I pay a little less than that. Most people say it's just fine.
Well, we all the time we've got these the Roberta's mobile operations out there. Right now we got one in Times Square, 40th and Broadway, and there's another one in Greeley Square. It's 33rd and Broadway. And all the time people come up and they're like, "Oh, man, whatever, $9 for a pizza. It's a 9-inch pizza. I go get a dollar sliced around the corner." And it's like, yeah, of course
cool. You do it.
Of course you can.
Cool.
You know, I mean, pizza, sometimes it's a value proposition.
Yeah.
But if you don't care what you put into your body,
you don't care what other people think of you.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, if you want to be cool, you eat Roberta's pizza. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, but
feel fresh.
I'm sure you're probably in line with this whole thing. You're using quality ingredients, unbleached, unbromated, like real flour.
Right.
Real cheese.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I always say is that...
Is Polly letting you use his super secret tomatoes?
I use a different tomato. I use a Jersey Fresh.
So you're saying you know what his tomato is?
Yeah, I was working in his prep kitchen when I first started there. I know what his tomato is. I cut those labels off. I burn those labels.
I mean, if he was really dedicated to that, don't you think he'd be the only one doing the cutting and the burning?
Yeah,
you are a pizza blogger, after all. Maybe that's not a very well-thought-out plan.
When I started, I was effectively retired from pizza blogging.
Yeah. So. Okay. All right. Well, that was smart, maybe.
Your tomatoes come from New Jersey.
Yeah, they're the Jersey Fresh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
Jersey
yeah.
Fresh brand.
I played with those.
My Uncle Joe told me when I was little, I must have been 5 years old, he pulled me over next to a tomato plant and said, "Ryan, these are the best tomatoes on earth."
Was this
standing in New Jersey.
In New Jersey?
In New Jersey, and I believed him. And I still believe him.
Uncle Risotto.
Nah, Uncle Joe, dude. Uncle Joe, man. Fuck, badass. For sure.
Jersey tomatoes. What makes a Jersey tomato so good?
You know, I have no idea.
Yeah.
The universe.
Yeah. The sunshine, Garden State soil.
That's good. They got known for their soil.
Yeah.
New Jersey.
So.
It's the Garden State.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
what more do you need?
No. Nothing.
Nothing.
No.
Just eat it. Yeah. Shut up. Pay $25 to get a fucking pizza, and glass of wine.
Some garlic knots.
Yeah.
You do garlic knots?
No.
I don't do knots.
We have a garlic knot at Roberta's right now again. I mean, we like to bring people on here and plug stuff, but this is the Roberta's show. You know what I'm saying, y'all? And there is a garlic knot coming out of the Roberta's bakery right now. It is fucking life-changing. I'm sorry. Excuse my language.
Mm-hmm. I know there's children listening, too. This feels great.
But it is a life-changing garlic knot. And you need to try one.
Why don't we pipe this audio out in the restaurant and order one?
Yeah, exactly. Garlic knots for everybody. The house.
I wish VIP garlic knots would just show up right here in front of us. I could go for a snack.
Yeah, we'll have to do that.
A little
next
garlic
time.
Knot canapé or something, you know? So Angelo's the only one that answered my freaking question about future of pizza.
Oh yeah.
Future of pizza.
Future of pizza. Adam, you want to take that?
I'll take it. I see the future of pizza might be people exploring different styles beyond, you know, like New York style, Neapolitan. I don't want to be self-serving, but I don't know. I just feel like the wood-fired has had a lot of exposure over the last decade.
Absolutely.
I see, you know, as a pizza blogger or as a former pizza blogger during the end of my pizza blogging days, I saw a lot of concentration on square pies, like Prince Street Pizza, making that square pie there, L&B.
Yeah, I love a good square pie.
Yeah, oh yeah.
What about oval pies or just like not a perfect
parallelogram?
My pizzas aren't always perfectly
circular. I think you hit on something.
Yeah.
Yeah, how do you feel about shape?
I don't know. Shape, I have no...
Yeah, you're not hung up on
it's
it.
Overrated.
I'm not hung up on it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Oblong pizzas are good. Mm-hmm. You know, it depends on what the style is. An oblong pizza, if it's hand, it's done by hand. You know, it's not going to be perfectly round all the time. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah. People like a little handcrafted flavor, a little rustico, you know what I'm saying? So I'll go ahead and tackle this one, future of pizza. I mean, I think that pizza is you know, the first truly international food. I'm going to go ahead and say that.
It's true.
I think everyone loves pizza all over the world.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to get, you know, feedback from that. You know? Like, people are going to do innovative things. Maybe in, like, Russia or something. Mm. You know? India. You know? And it's going to come back.
Yeah.
You know, to the United States. You're going to get
physical feedback.
Yeah. Physical, mental feedback.
Like, you can see it, you can touch it.
You know, one of the things that I really like about that new wave of Neapolitan pizza is the fact that, you know, there was a lot of people doing, there's kind of what's settled into it is like, hey, there's no rules, you know? We're not in Italy. We put jalapenos on this pizza, you know, pepperoni. Yeah, I know it doesn't exist over there, but you know what? We're in America. Pepperoni's delicious.
I believe it.
Yeah. So I like to see those kind of just like whatever. I mean, because like tomatoes come from the new world.
Yeah.
You know, like there's something out there. There's just like a great pizza. You know what I've, you know, do you ever put, I think I, you know, something I picked up from the Slice blog in the reader sections there in the comments is the Aleppo pepper. Me and Ryan Rice collaborated on a pizza.
Oh my god.
Called the Deaf Aleppo.
Yeah, nice name.
You had that pizza,
oh,
right?
Oh yeah, it's great.
Oh my god. Yeah. Named after a famous rock and roll band, Deaf Leppard.
That's right. Yeah.
And give a shout out to
Five
Aleppo.
Arms and Sucks.
Yeah.
Deaf Leppard.
No, they're all right. No, they're good. Pour some sugar on me.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. That was a good pizza. Still is.
Yeah. Yeah. Every spring we should bring that one back.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should.
With spring garlic is mamma mia.
That's what makes it. That and the Aleppo pepper from Aleppo.
Yeah, it's hard times over there.
It's a shout out. Yeah. It's a shout out saying stop fighting, chill out, stop being bogus. Just be chill, make pizza.
Yeah, peace in the Middle East.
Make pizza, not war.
Smoke mozzarella.
Smoke mozzarella.
Smoke mozzarella.
Guys, this was a great show.
I think it was.
It still is.
I feel good about it.
Yeah. Feel good.
I guess we're going to wrap this up then, right?
Yeah, I think that was a hint.
It's about that time.
Well, I'd like to give a special thanks to our guest, Adam Kubin. And check out...
One more round of applause.
Yeah. Oh. Really great and informative. Check out margospizza.com.
Margos with a T.
Just go to the website. The pizza picture you got up there is pretty fucking good.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Go to heritageradionetwork.com.
Org, or com, and they both work.
Okay, we got options.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thank you. And I'd also like to thank out there in California, Angela Womack, for calling in.
Oh, I love it.
Keep doing it.
Blessing.
Octogenarians need pizza too, man. Keep it up, buddy.
Positive eye on pizza. That's one to work on, dude.
Yeah, watch that char level.
Yeah. And thanks to Ryan Rice for a really, really beautifully meditative sky report.
Oh, man, that was so good.
Yeah. It was really nice. Special.
Deep, dude. Go out and, there.
Hey, thanks to Jack Inslee, our producer extraordinaire there in the booth. Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah.
All right.
They used to think the world was flat.
Not anymore.
Now it's a circle.
Well, we'll see you guys next week. I think we've got more guys. I think Eric and Norm are coming back next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then some other special guests for another edition of Falco Talk.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we'll see you guys next week. Roberta's Radio is live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on Heritage Radio Network, also on iTunes, also on Stitcher Smart Radio. So we'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye. You know just how to be bad. You know how to go and get me back. Put your hands up on my back. You're in this world.